The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Disgusting Universe, Music Review, Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
Gotta crank up the gain, so it's like, I thought that everything would be okay. Yeah, he's it. Billy, is that you?
That Billy Eilish sings.
It's just a whisper, and it's like ASMR singing.
It is kind of.
I think that she took advantage. I mean, I think it's genius, you know.
Well, it's kind of a new mix for pop music where they do that super gained up microphone, and then they just
leave a single song on it. Just barely sing a song.
Yeah, they're like the quietest, little saddest church mouse in the world, and they're just like got the biggest microphone in the world on them.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's sad. Let's get this huge microphone on it and listen to the song of the people.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, you know?
It does work,
so. Yeah. Maybe
we should do a total ASMR episode.
We should.
Whisper through the whole thing.
Oh, man, it would be great.
Creepy.
That would be really great, Craig.
Yeah, I don't think I could edit that.
I think it would be cool because I actually like ASMR sometimes.
Especially when dudes are doing it.
Hey, fuck you. I don't know why they're more relaxing. They have better voices, so you can go fuck right off, Greg. How about that?
Have better voices.
It's not sexual, and because I'm trying to keep it not sexual, I'm just trying to sleep. I don't want to listen to the ladies because they do tend to make it like, oh, you've had a long day. And their tits are out and shit. So I'm like, okay, I see
you, how are their tits out when you're just listening to it?
Well, there's video too.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And the dudes just don't have their shirt on or what?
No, they try to.
They're just working out. They're just slowly.
Some of them just
pumping iron.
No,
or whatever they're doing.
No, with the dudes, it's clearly more like just
putting suntan oil on each other. as they're doing their whispering.
No. It's like, it's more like it doesn't even matter what they look like, basically. It's just all the voice, kind of.
Mm, okay.
You know, it's like if they, like a lot of them don't show their face or something,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just be this deep booming voice. And you know, like chicks are like, oh God, he's probably got big hands and stuff.
They do the really deep voices for the ASMR?
Well, some of them have, like, I mean, they're just whispering, but you can tell it's like a rich whisper kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Rich whisper.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like, if we mic'd you up, you would be an ASMR star, Craig.
ASMR star.
All you'd have to do is read some of your books, literally, like a chapter. You would just be like, Of Mice and Men, Chapter 1, Craig ASMR. And then he just reads it, and it's like fucking 14 million views.
Wow. Huh. Let's do it. That's like
Are you down?
That's like printing money. If I just have to read, like, books.
Yeah. I mean, well, you could do whatever you want. You just have to talk. You just have to whisper. You could talk about your day. You don't even have to read books.
No, I
just
like think the that idea. Would... I like the idea of, like, reading, like,
I
oh,
do.
Just different weird Because
that's the ones that I like, that the ones that are, like, mildly educational. So then, because, like, there's this guy, he's a French whisperer, and he's got this, like, French voice, and he talks about, like, the solar system and shit. And
oh, that's okay. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
And then, or there's this guy who, like, fixes little watches, and
so
he'll talk about, you know.
So it would be kind of like doing like, porn, like a spoken word porn for people.
Yeah, it's pretty much that, you know. Except it's got a wider range of use than porn.
You keep telling me that.
I keep telling you that, and I don't think I'm not getting a lot of belief from your end of the aisle. I don't see a lot of credulity or whatever the fuck in your eyes when I say that.
There's,
but
There's very little.
Yeah, but it's yeah. true.
I guess it's possible.
Well, but no, I think
I will say that maybe
I mean,
it's possible.
I agree with you that there certainly are people jerking off to ASMR about yes. planets or yes. whatever, because that's what people, but I would say most of them are just like, you just put it on their headphones, listen to like 2 minutes and literally pass out, and then are like passed out with their headphones on, because that's what happens to me. Because it just, it's like, it's boring, it's like a soothing voice, you know, talking about mundane shit, and you're just like...
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a super unimpactful like podcast, pretty much. It's just it's just talking.
Yeah, it's just supposed to just like take the space of your inner monologue.
Huh.
Long enough to
lull you to sleep. How long are they usually?
An hour sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
But they can be 15 minutes. I would say it ranges from 15 minutes to an hour.
But you just do one and then 14 million views.
No, I think you got to do a couple, but I've noticed ones, like, they'll have ones go viral in a weird way, because it's a whole community. It's like a huge YouTube sub-community of ASMR people.
And it's YouTube stuff.
It's YouTube, for sure. But they put it on Spotify and everywhere, I think a lot of them do, but it's primarily YouTube.
And what do they use for graphics? Just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the French Whisperer dude just uses pictures of what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. So they do edit like a thing with a slideshow.
Or it'll be a picture of them. Like some people get into like weird acting out of like role play type shit, you know, where it's like there's this one dude who pretends like he's a professor from Arkham Asylum and you're like an insane patient. He's like checking. There's all sorts of weird shit, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably not going to dress up like anything.
No,
I don't think
you need to.
Yeah, no.
I'll no. Just... Ooh. Because I think you got a golden voice, Craig. I think you got a golden broadcasting voice. So
noticed as I've been editing that, like, you have, like, the golden voice, too, in a way, like, that you don't appreciate. But, man, you have, like, a lot of different ways. I think yours is more expressive than mine.
Oh.
You have a more expressive voice than I do.
Okay. I'll take that.
I've got the timbre advantage probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got a couple things, couple like tones that I can hit very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as like just the wider range, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I like the range. I think you've got the more traditional like broadcasting voice.
Well, I don't even know about that.
I think just naturally, like, I could kind of lean into it a little bit more and it's all right, Scott, we've got he's on the fourth with bases loaded.
But that's like the stereot. You wouldn't be a good announcer in like the 50s.
No.
But like announcers today, yes, absolutely. You have that voice that they all have. And if you grew up in the 30s or the 40s and you had that intonation to everything, you would sound like those guys too.
Hell yeah.
You know, but that's like you have Seacrest.
I mean, you've got
Seacrest.
Yeah, you're sure right about that, Craig.
Seacrest out.
Spenny out. All right.
But it is. I mean, you've got that guy. The guy that does
the average guy voice.
What's
you know?
His name? Chaz McGuire or what is
I
the guy's
don't.
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
I've got a Seacrest Carson Daly thing.
A little bit of that guy that we hate that's on late night too.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, fuck you.
But you do.
No, totally. Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel?
You got a little Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, it's not Fallon.
Fallon too, a little bit of Fallon too, but more Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
You're more middle, you're more that side of the country.
Yeah, what's the deal with this and that and whatever. Yeah.
Forget about my past.
Forget about my past.
He's canceled now though, isn't he? Is he canceled? Ellen's canceled.
I don't know. But they're all the cancellations, I think, if you'll notice, I think are getting a little softer and less permanent.
I don't know. It's just moving to the other side. The NBA final game. Game 7 that LeBron James, the most famous athlete in the world, played in and won his third or fourth
that happened?
Ring.
Already?
Right. It only 5 million people watched it this year.
Rough.
5 million people. Damn. 18 million people watched it last year, and they're like, oh, fuck, NBA's going fucking under with yeah. that kind of number. Because it used to be like 80, 90, 100 million people would watch that shit.
Right.
I mean, back in the 80s and 90s, it was fucking crazy the number of people that would have that on. And 5 million people?
People don't care. I mean, especially when you can't go to the actual event itself, people don't care about organized sports.
I don't know.
As much.
I also think that it is just like a political cancellation. I think that when you people use sports like they do certain other things, and like it's an escape. You know, and I think that like all of the people in the NBA taking like political messages and putting them on the jersey, brightening it on the court, all the stuff that they've done, plus all the NBA's weirdness with China and all this stuff, it's just become a political organization.
Yeah.
And it's not that escape, no matter how exciting the basketball is. And I know that a lot of people are still excited about the basketball and interested in it.
Sure.
But like, it doesn't function in that same way that I think even football still kind of does. You know, like football kind of has been a little bit more out of the fray. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it hasn't involved itself in it like the NBA has.
Yeah,
in a way. So
absolutely.
I don't know. It's a weird thing. Like people are steering clear some stuff that they never steered clear before.
You know what? And I don't know any numbers on this, but my gut is that the tennis ratings might have gone up. Or at least stayed. I think maybe probably every rating has gone down because of the situation, but maybe they went down the least. And I only say this because I was hearing about it everywhere, and I was even interested in it without necessarily being fully prompted, other than my girlfriend who like loves tennis, plays tennis, you know, all that sort of stuff.
I just noticed it a lot. I don't know. I think that is the girlfriend. I think it's kind of like, oh, I bought a yellow car and now I see a yellow car everywhere.
Yeah.
I go, sort of thing.
I think you're probably right.
I've seen nothing of the tennis thing.
Yeah.
You might have watched some stuff on the internet about the tennis. Have you watched some things on YouTube about tennis?
No. We watched the...
Have you had your phone with you while you're watching it on television?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not through Instagram. I'll just tell you, it's come up in weirder, I feel like more organic ways. Like, obviously, she was watching the U.S. Open just on her computer, and we had it on, right?
Right.
A bunch. But then Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer have been really getting into tennis.
Uh-huh.
And so they've been talking about it on their podcasts, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, those are podcasts I already watch, and they just kind of like...
Oh, okay.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Gotcha.
They just started talking about tennis a bunch while I was kind of getting into tennis. And I think it's because of the whole social distant... Like, it's the sport that's changed the least. Like, you know, was never about the audience that much. They always kind of clap politely or whatever when a point is made.
Right.
But it's still...
It's like the audience in golf.
Yeah. It's
you know,
like
we don't really need them.
Might as well just have the wind blowing and birds chirping behind you.
Right.
You know?
Right. Sometimes the sexy spouse will be in the stands and they do a lot of shots of
but
that.
But it's still there. They can still do that with
and
tennis.
And it still like sounds like people are having sex with each other if you close your eyes, if you're watching tennis.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Really weird. Weird kinky sex where they're like, gah! And you're like, weird. What the fuck are they? What the fuck are they doing, dude? You hear like your neighbor through the wall making that sound.
No, if you take tennis and then you just record the audio to it, and then you go in and cut out the spaces of when the ball's flying across the court,
so it's just
and then you put a techno beat underneath that. That's fucking
yeah, totally.
That's fucking just call it the open. Yeah,
and
the
that open.
Just do a whole.
That's brilliant.
Thing. That's brilliant.
An album.
And you played some tennis just recently.
Yeah, I played.
There you go.
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you have a tennis background?
No. Never. I'd never played before that time. And then you know the whole like badminton. My birthday. Just kind of materialized.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just been happening.
And summer tolerated the newbie tennis for how long?
"Oh, I'm the one who tapped out. She said I was doing pretty good, you know.
Okay.
Like I was able to
get it back.
Yeah, and I was starting to get the backhand with the two hands and everything,
okay.
and and like trying to, you know, get to the ball before I do my stance, but then staying away from the ball enough to like actually have a good swing.
Because
I was like, I would like run up to the ball and it would be like right here, and then I'm like,
yeah,
you know, like don't know what to do. I just end up getting hit with it,
right."
So
no, there's a lot of stuff to remember. I love tennis, dude.
It's cool.
I mean, like, it, you dream about it. It's one of those few things that, like, man, it's like really gets you in the brain.
Yeah.
Part of things.
Yeah.
And like the best is when you find someone that is at your same ability,
right?
You know, and you can get kind of better playing off each other, kind of like chess,
right?
You know,
totally.
like 3 months. One person wins, and then it kind of switches around, and then it kind of next 3 months, the next other person wins, but it always is kind of switching back and forth, and everybody's challenged. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super. I love it so
it's
much.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
It's
I'm excited
hard
to keep playing.
It's kind of hard on the body, but it's...
it is pretty hard on the body. Like, and I was sore in my feet and ankles in ways that I hadn't really...
connective tissues and stuff like that, especially when you get into it enough that you start playing like those type of games with someone that you're competitive with,
right?
You know, and
right.
you know, you really start pushing yourself, and yeah, I mean, I'll die for shit in tennis that I would never die for in like any other sport.
Right.
Period.
Yeah,
I mean, like you guys are all playing badminton and volleyball and jumping into them, like. Why
yeah.
are you doing that? It's beach volleyball.
Yeah,
like, I'm not jumping in the mud.
No, totally.
I'm just not gonna do it.
It's fun. It's fun for me, for that in particular. Just because I think I was diving at stuff that I was obviously not.
Well,
even
you were
get.
Yeah, you were just diving in the sand.
It's fun.
That's pretty much. What
I just
you're doing.
I'm kind of like a dog in that.
I guess
way.
I had pants on too, and you guys all had shorts.
Yeah.
So that made it a little bit easier to clean yourself off. But
sure.
I didn't have, like, more pants. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to fill my pants with sand for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
That was probably a good move on my part.
I think it was. I think it was a smart move.
Speaking of smart moves, we're going to do one of our episodes that we call Hit or Shit. And I'm especially excited about today's episode because it's one of my favorite dudes. Favorite dudes coming out with some new tunes.
New tunes.
Sturgill Simpson came out with a new album just the other day, like 2 days ago maybe. It's called Mowing the Grass.
Oh, damn. Mowing the Grass.
And I think it's like a 20 track thing. But it's, from what I think about it, just looking at it, it is like seriously a bunch of redos of other songs on other albums that he's had. So it's his bluegrass. It's his bluegrass group, and I've seen them perform on YouTube a couple times. They have like some videos up, and they did something at like the Grand Ole Opry, like right before the world shut down or something. But I guess this is the album.
Cool
of it. And I don't know if it has any like new songs on it or not. I haven't really looked at it enough, but maybe we could find it on Spotify and see like which of the tracks is trending right now. And
so I have a question. So you're saying that are these bluegrass reinterpretations of songs he's already released?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, from what if it's like what I saw on YouTube, it is bluegrass versions of the songs.
Okay, here we got the official title. It's called Cutting Grass.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Cutting Grass Volume 1 Butcher Shop Sessions.
Okay, there you go.
So it sounds like they just, you know, did a whole thing where they set up in a, I bet it was a butcher shop, or it's like a recording studio called the Butcher Shop, and they just went and they did like their whole repertoire. And yeah, it's 20 songs. And as far as what is trending, it looks like the song I Don't Mind is the top played one at the moment.
That is a new one, I think, because I don't recognize that off of any of the albums as being one of the tracks off an album.
Okay, so that's a new track. So maybe that's why it's getting more play. Maybe it was a single. But it looks like most of the songs are sitting around, you know, 200,000, 280,000 plays, and then I Don't Mind is a little above that, 350. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay. You mean you have 350,000? Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I Don't Mind probably is maybe where we should start. And like, what's the number two?
The number two would be...
Or do you have a favorite Sturgill Simpson song that we could listen to the bluegrass version of? Let's check this one out. It might just be God Horrible, and we won't want to do a second one, but maybe we should do a second one, too, after we listen to
okay.
This
well,
one.
Yeah. The second one is the first track. The second most popular is the first track, All Around You.
That's
so,
another one that I... Oh, I know. That's off of...
You know that song?
That's off of the third album, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's check out this new one, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about bluegrass, I guess.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
There's a lonely feeling I carry that will follow all my days. I walked out on Harbor View nursing, turned my back on the love you saved. Well, just when my clouds were drifting, my plan got rearranged. But there ain't no going back. And ain't no way that I can change. I believe that I found God about the same time that I found you. All that stuff about heaven and angels, well, I know now that it's all true. But you drift in and out of my dreams now, like a ship out at sea in a storm. And when I wake up every morning, I roll over to find you still gone. I'm alone.
No, I liked it. I mean, I did. I thought it was a beautiful song and yeah. Very well executed. And I don't know, really NPR in a way, you know. And I guess that I don't know how I like how he harmonizes with the female singer when they sing together. It seems like it kind of becomes like washed out in a way, or something happens to it that I don't know. I don't know. The vocals seemed weird to me kind of throughout a little bit. He's singing kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that it's being recorded or whatever. I don't know. What did you think?
Well, I would be interested in to see what the process was, because my guess is that they recorded this live as a band.
Yeah.
You know? And like in a traditional sort of bluegrass way, but in like a really expensive studio,
right? Right.
You know, uh-huh. And so in that way, the vocals do sound more raw.
Yeah, that might be it. That might be what's going on there.
I think that's what's going on, and it's not like this is like a straight run through, or maybe like two that were like pasted together somewhere. Mm. But, yeah, I liked it. I thought, I really did. I get what you mean about the NPR thing, because it was all just incredibly safe. Like, you would hear this on Prairie Home Companion,
sure,
you know, and it'd be perfect. I thought the lyrics are, it's still Sturgill-y, where he's like, you can stop loving me tomorrow, and
quite dark. It's got it's got good lyrics to it. I mean, it's definitely a Sturgill song for sure. It's kind of like that bluegrass light. It's kind of in that weird, they're playing it like straight country, but they're doing it all with like bluegrass instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it just reminds me of kind of like an adult contemporary thing.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? I don't know. And that's kind of what it reminded me of when I was watching it on YouTube, when I watched like the live show that and they're highly talented for sure, but like it is kind of like this Prairie Home Companions type of deal.
Yeah,
and if that's your side hobby, then that's great. You know, like Springsteen did an album that was like all a bunch of fiddly diddly stuff, mm-hmm. and that's, if you want to do that, like do that,
mm-hmm.
but just don't follow that hole all the way down to the, I mean, I hope that like the next studio album is more like the last album with the science fiction. Like
yeah.
that's kind of a departure, but that's like, I don't know. It's just like, that's what's interesting in country music. He was interesting in country music because mm-hmm. he was kind of pushing on some of those self-imposed boundaries of the genre,
mm-hmm.
and this doesn't push on those self-imposed boundaries of the genre really in any way. This song doesn't.
No.
But I still liked it.
I liked it, yeah.
You know, I think I'll probably listen to this album quite a bit.
I think that old Sturgill still has some tricks up his sleeve.
I do too.
Because the whole project seems like a...
But maybe the Ro-Ro took it out of him. He got the Ro-Ro.
He got the Ro-Ro, but I think that affected it for sure. Mm-hmm. Because like, let's... Like, okay, they're not touring, right? No musician is touring. So I think that they pivoted and were like, all right, let's... What can we put out ASAP? Because that was all of our money. All of our money for 2020 and 2021 just disappeared.
Right.
So we need to put out another record stat.
Sure.
To keep like this machine going.
And then he's like, who do I have to pay less than rock musicians? He's like, well, bluegrass musicians.
Yeah. Yes. They're like, there's not even a musicians union
for those people.
Right. There's no union. Like, and all you really have to do is have some, like a collection of shiny objects to give them.
You just have to slow down the pickup truck in the right areas of the South and they just climb in and start playing instruments.
Yeah. You really just have to feed them. Is that right. They'll be happy. And you don't even really need to do that, but
not much.
It helps though with the playing. Right. Sometimes they get a little sick and
a little liquor.
Usually,
just get some liquor,
some moonshine,
or some, you know,
grain alcohol of some
furniture
sort.
Furniture polish to huff.
Sure,
they're just on their way.
Yeah,
they'll be
ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think it's fun. I think it's fun, and I feel sorry for everybody not being able to tour.
That's just what
his tickets were so fucking expensive. Like, wow, dude.
No, that's I feel like that's why they had to come and do some shit really quick because they were... Because
I wanted to see him when he came this last time, and I'm like, wow, I don't want to see anybody that much.
How much were they?
They were like $325 or something like that.
Where was he playing?
Moda.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But he was with somebody else. It was like a double ticket with this other... like Duke LaDuke or whatever it was. I don't know, some other like country phenomenon that I don't care about. But he was with Sturgill, and I guess like Sturgill was the headline, but everybody was like, oh, Ligra was like, oh no, everybody's going for the other guy.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, well, everybody sucks.
Yeah.
How come most of the time the majority of people are just completely wrong about things?
I don't know, because I think in order for a big group of people to be down with an idea, it's got to be really dumb to cover the broadest territory possible. It's got to be just real dumb.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
It just seems that way. Even when the majority comes around and agrees with past opinions that I have,
right,
it makes them dumb.
Well, it's because they figured out a way to water it down.
Right.
Yeah, to make it dumb. For people.
Or they pick the parts out of it that I would never think to pick the parts out of it, and they just like focus on that dumb shit. And like, I don't know, it's just really weird.
It is weird.
Do you want to do another song off this album?
Yeah. I want to check out more.
Like, what's a good Sturgill song?
I'm curious because I want to hear more originals. Like, I want to hear like what the album opener sounds like. Because I want to see if they go into like a fast ripper.
I think
ripper.
That's off Breaker Shore, though. All Around You is off of Breaker Shore.
Okay.
Read through them and I'll say there's...
Okay, All Around You, All the Pretty Colors, Breakers Roar, I Wonder, Just Let Go, Life Ain't Fair and the World is Mean, A Little Light, Life of Sin, Long White Line, Living the Dream, Old King Cole, Railroad of Sin, Sitting Here Without You, Sometimes Wine, The Storm.
Oh, Sometimes Wine.
Time After, Sometimes Wine. Wait, so do you recognize all these songs?
Yeah, I recognize all those songs.
Okay.
I don't recognize Sometimes Wine, though. That might off be... I really don't know Breakers Roar super well.
Which one's Breakers Roar? You mean Sailor's Guide to Earth?
Sailor's Guide to Earth. Okay. Yeah, I don't really know the songs off of that one, so it might be... I mean, I know the songs off that one. I just don't know the titles of the songs off that one.
Okay.
But the Wine song might be a new one.
Yeah. Sounding like it. I'm just perusing here. Oh, yeah, you're right. All of these songs are from... A lot are from the High Top Mountain.
Oh, yeah. They're great tunes. Like, Life Ain't Fair and the World is Mean. Like, that's one of my favorite. That would be a fun one to listen to, for sure.
Well, you want to try Sometimes Wine?
Let's try Sometimes Wine.
I have always tried. Sometimes that whiskey, sometimes the wine. Baby, why is it whenever your glass is empty? You come at home, knock over mine. I like to tell you I can't make it without you. Couldn't tell you how much I paid for the bottle and how long we've been here. Your guess is as good as mine. Sometimes that wine don't hit me like it haunts you, but that old whiskey suits me fine. I'd like to tell you.
That was also great, but it kind of solidified, I think, what you were saying before a little bit, where it's just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That mandolin player is cooking, though.
Oh, man, he got world-class people.
Yeah.
Same with the fiddle.
Yeah.
The fiddle guy. Like, and that's what I love about...
I think it's a fiddle gal. Thank you very much.
I'm so sorry. I shall repent for a fortnight and think about what I've done. shit. No, I'm sorry. But my apologies. World-class musicians, and that's one thing I do enjoy about bluegrass, because it might be the only other genre... Well, there's bluegrass and jazz, but then like metal, where it's like this, there's like this pride placed on this technical solo.
Yeah.
In the song, where it's like you can almost guarantee it's going to be there. That's like the gem of.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time in bluegrass, they would go through each instrument in each of these songs.
Right.
Like if you went to see this live, they would only do like a fifth of the songs that are in this album. Mm-hmm. And each person would have like a solo of like an indeterminate.
No, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's perfectly fine. Like I am going to probably enjoy listening to this as kind of like a side note novelty sort of thing for like the Sturgill thing.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not part of the canon.
I don't know. I think for what it is, it's pretty cool. It sounds like
Sturgill
like
unplugged. It's like a Nirvana unplugged.
Yeah. which I would say is part of canon. If you like if you're to take this,
if you're desperate for canon, it's part of the canon.
I guess so.
You know, and it's got like four songs on it that are definitely like big additions to, like, you know, those cover songs that they did on it, but they are covers.
Right. I mean, I guess so. It depends. Like, I think if you were to shuffle this album with the rest of his albums, you know, like if you're, say, to listen to the Sturgill discography on shuffle, this would be a nice thing to put in there. This would be a net positive because it would just break up. It would just show more versatility, more, you know,
yeah,
like cool,
I think so.
Bluegrass renditions of his songs. And they're like a live,
it's,
you know,
live-ish
version.
It's live-ish.
Any Sessions album
right.
is like.
Right.
And so, no, I think you're right. It shouldn't. It's not a. It's not an album.
Right.
You
right.
know, it's not no, an it's, album of
it's,
originals.
It's something else. It's something else. It's something else.
Yeah. But I think it's cool. I think it,
yeah,
I
do
think,
too.
And I think it was a well-done choice. Like, he is clearly thinking of his, like, reputation
hardcore,
and legacy.
He's thinking of his hardcore fans. He's thinking of fans of, like, me who have listened to all of his albums to the point that I don't really need to listen to him anymore. But this is going to give it, like, a new flavor.
Right.
Hopefully a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I'm with you. I hope that he comes back with more sci-fi country.
Yeah, I think... more sci-fi country. I mean, he kind of changes it up. Like, he did that Sailor Boy country album.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally. I think if he... this and this jives with all that, of him, like, putting on a new outfit, kind of, so to speak, for each thing, and now he's doing his little bluegrass kind of throwaway, whoops, didn't plan on this, but it's quarantine, so I'm going to do it thing.
Right.
Making
right.
the best out of it. And probably going straight from that into recording a new album, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine would be the smart thing for like 2021.
No, I'd love to see him get into like some straight up like Lynyrd Skynyrd territory.
Like Southern
Marshall,
Rock.
Marshall Tucker Band.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite all the way there. Maybe more like a Charlie Daniels that kind of relies more on the country, like more of fiddle and stuff in there instead of like that third guitar or second guitar or whatever. But something pretty rocking would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would
you
be
know?
Cool.
And not with the less synthesizer, maybe more traditional instruments, but rocking still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's like so much stuff to explore.
There is a lot. I mean, I wonder what he'll do.
Or even just going back and doing just like a straight country album would be great too.
That would be.
Because he hasn't really done that since High Top Mountain. I mean, I guess that like... Better modern sounds of country music was kind of his psychedelic album.
I would like to see a double down on that as far as like really go
psychedelic. Yeah,
you know?
That's my favorite album. That or High Top Mountain. Those two are just so great.
I've heard quite a few songs from him, and I mean it's all awesome. I kind of want more like country meets Pink Floyd thing.
But I think I'm still going to give this like a low hit. You know, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I'm grading, but I'm going to give it overall like a low hit.
Low hit.
I mean, he's just a top shelf dude, you know, and he's doing top shelf stuff, and it's just not quite as tippy top as like his other stuff that he's done.
Sure.
But it's just a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a holdover until the world opens type
of
thing. You know, so God bless him for that.
No, I agree. I agree with you. And I think that even when he's got his throwaway, you know, if you want to be harsh, like his throwaway album or throwaway tracks, just to maintain relevancy, it's still like low hit territory.
Sure.
At the worst.
Sure.
You know, which says a lot about him. So, I agree.
And it's a little bit more than just like, I mean, he could theoretically probably put out a greatest hits album.
Yeah.
At this point.
I mean, that's kind of what it was. Like, maybe there was pressure to do that. Uh-huh. Like, that's an idea they were throwing around.
Yeah.
And he was like,
well, how about
fuck
this?
That. Yeah.
Instead.
He's like,
That might be exactly what's been going on, because they love to put out those greatest hits for country people.
Right. Like, even if it's only been like four albums.
Country music has no qualms about just the continual cash in.
Yeah.
You know?
The cash in.
Bless their hearts.
Less.
So what are you going to give it?
Oh, I agree with you. The low hit.
Low hit.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I'd say that's fair.
Yeah, no, I think that is. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of it's going to be, maybe some of these covers are just going to like just take it to the next level. I hope so.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Covers.
Well, not covers, but the redos of all the old songs. There might be some magic in there too, for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, it's something that I think will be nice with the rest of his repertoire if you're to just like mix it all up.
And it kind of fits the season. You know, it's a good fall, early winter sort of, this kind of music is real, like when it starts to get like, you know, kind of harvest season sort of type of thing.
Yeah.
For your barn dances and your hay rides and all that stuff that's coming up for you, Spencer.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever been on a hay ride?
I've been on a hay ride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about a barn dance?
I've actually...
been to a barn dance,
been
too.
To a sort of barn dance, yeah. I mean, all of this stuff
they
was...
They play devil music at it, though, probably, right?
No. This was, like, my school-oriented thing.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, we would always, every fall, there would always be some field trip related to pumpkin patch, hay ride, candy apple corn, you know.
Oh, really? Those were your field trips?
Well, in the fall.
Huh.
It would be, I mean, then, and if it was like, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh. So it's just pure fun.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the time.
There was no, like, learning involved.
No, it'd be like looking.
We had to go to, like, the water treatment plant.
That sucks.
I mean, the good one was.
We had to do that, too. We did those ones, too, for sure. Where it's like, here's how the school lunches are made. And you're like, why would you show us that? And then also, you could maybe get a career here at Portland Public Schools, like, food plant, and you're like, no.
Some of the dumb kids are like, hey
I could pilfer some of the fudge.
Look
you
at
know?
That. There's all the tater tots I'd want.
Yeah, exactly.
I have all I want.
Yeah. 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 Just drown in tater tots.
As a little kid that was always hungry, like the idea of just all the tater tots that I wanted. Like,
yeah.
I always left school lunch. Like, even when I bought two lunches a day, generally.
Right.
And I was still hungry at the end of that shit.
Oh, man.
I was always hungry.
Yeah, Jesus. I imagine, yeah.
God damn, I was hungry.
Makes sense.
I'm still kind of hungry now just thinking about how hungry I was then. It really was like, yeah. I can't like really express
no, sure.
it at
I,
times.
I can
it was
just imagine
like, just
you're just like,
unbelievable
my body,
thing.
It wants more, I'm sorry.
You know something strange, and this is like kind of related but not really related, but like the cats. We have cats, you know, and it's like super. I'm sure Spencer makes fun of me when I'm not around because I'm so cat-centric. Like, he's a nice guy, but man, fucking fixated on the cats. But it's fine.
I am what I am,
and you can do what you do. That's fine. But people see through you. I just want to say that.
I don't do that, dude. Because you are like easily one of the lower cat-centric people who I'm aware of. You're not posting all of these videos like talking to your cats.
That's
like some
true.
People I know. Hmm. Yeah. You're you're neutral.
Anyway,
cat.
Like the cats are always hungry, as you know, always begging for food.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But my sister, like, cooks some really old chicken. Mm. You know, she was, like, cooking some chicken, and mm-hmm. she was talking to my mom on the phone, and my mm-hmm. mom's like, is that the chicken that you said? Because, obviously, there's nothing going on with COVID, so, like, my mom knows when my sister last bought chicken at
yeah,
the store.
Sure.
And she's not, that's not the chicken that you bought on such and such a date, like, 13, 14 days ago, is it? And my sister's like, yeah. And my mom's like, oh, you can't eat that. It's way too old. Like, don't risk it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, like, my sister's like, oh, so what am I going to do with this whole, like, just recently cooked chicken? So we've been, like, she gave a bunch of it to her friend for the cats, and we've been feeding the cats, like, chicken instead of their cat food.
I bet they fucking love that.
They fucking love it, but they stop begging. Like, they're full. They're full.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Huh.
They seriously, they're like being good.
Wow. That's cool. It's like you gave them real food.
It's something. Something is like that.
Maybe
you know,
the cat food's like junk food.
And seriously, we buy like good cat food.
Yeah.
I mean, like good cat food.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriously, like I don't want to give you this money.
Yeah.
Like kind of cat food.
Yeah,
like I wish I spent this much money on my food kind of food.
Oh, man.
Not really. I mean, I don't spend as much. I think I spend more money on me than I do on the cat as far as food goes.
I hope so.
But it's still pretty nice food for a cat.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it's weird that's a thing. So just like
That is weird. That's
and knowing my sister, it was a real organic, you know, good,
sure,
as good a chicken
and it's
as
just
like
chicken
you can get.
Cooked with like maybe some.
Yeah, she probably just. I think she just baked it.
Baked it.
Probably yeah. put some salt and pepper and some slight seasoning on the outside of it.
That's
just
an
like baked
theory.
It in a baking pan sort of deal.
They're those people that kind of do the same thing with dogs, where they're like, you know, like that Caesar Milan dude mm-hmm. is like all about like, yeah, I cook an egg, you know, I'm like making them a meal, kind of a thing.
Right.
Like that's how you should treat them, and that will, I don't know, that will keep
did
them
you,
from.
Did you make a little buddy, a little Abraham a meal every day when you were?
Yeah, I took a big old. Dumping his no, I'm just kidding. I'm just
you're
kidding.
Mean to little
I
Abraham
know, because he needs to toughen up that little guy. No, I'm just kidding.
You're a bad dog uncle or whatever you
no,
are.
No, I'm a good dog uncle.
Surrogate
he just needs
foster dad.
He just needs a little bit of you know strictness because his dad has been gone.
Uh huh.
Right. He's only got the female presence in his life, and uh-huh. I'm sure it's great, but he just. Runs up everywhere, and you can tell no one's been barking at him. You know what I mean?
Right.
No one's been
jump,
like, hey.
Does he jump on
yeah,
people?
Yeah, he jumps up on people. You know, and he's a little guy, so it's fine.
Right.
He's a great little guy. But, you like, it's just like once you've been active with him for, like, three and a half hours, and then you go and you sit, and he's still like, and you're like, okay, now I don't care how cute you are. You need to, like, fucking stop, you know, kind of a thing is how I
Oh, I can't wait for you to have kids.
Just, yeah.
It can't happen really soon enough.
yeah. fuck you.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer
be
will be that dude that's just like, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it'll all turn zen. You know,
I'll have like a cart full of kids, and he'll be the one that, like, at the store, just leaves the cart full of kids and just walks away from it and goes into the next aisle.
And they're all just like,
just for a minute, and they're all like, wow.
Yeah.
And he's just in the next aisle, like, just looking at his phone, just like, oh, give me just a fucking minute to fucking do this. I wish that mom hadn't left with that circus performer guy.
Now I get left with
now,
the kids.
Now I've got all these little redheaded bastards that I have to fucking cart around.
Yeah, but you know with the redheaded kids, they know how to fight from a very young age. So fight, I sick them on people.
Fight and steal.
Fight and steal. So I'm like, go. And they're like, ah! Everyone's like, ah!
No, that's the only reason you haven't fled, because you know that they're once you've raised them, then you'll be like...
Yeah. I'll have
like
a little
Scottish,
army.
Be like that Scottish cannibal.
Yeah.
You can teach them the ways of your people, and
yeah.
then you'll have a little gang of pickpockets
and cannibals.
And cutthroats.
You better watch out. Who do you think I'm going to have pilfer first? I'm like, oh, look at all this cool stuff.
Right.
Let's just just grab whatever you can, kids.
It's all equally worth. It's all equally worth the same.
It's true, I guess.
I mean, if we have a lot of time, we maybe will get something for some of it on eBay.
Yeah.
If we have a lot of time,
that's true, huh?
That's kind of how I describe my collection.
Yeah.
But if you find the right person and they happen to have, like, you know, if you find the right person and, like, their rich relative has just died,
right.
they will be more than happy to pay you the price that this stuff is supposedly worth. Mm. Most of the.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind for when I have all the kids.
All the kids.
Yeah.
Like four. I think four is a good place
four
to start.
I would like.
Start at four.
Start with quintuplets.
The first
quadruplets.
The first mate, you should have four.
Yeah.
And then when you run her off.
Right.
Then you get another mate.
Another one.
And do
another
like
four.
Another, you're four. You're
another
four.
Four.
4 to 6.
Yeah. And I just keep it coming like like the Irish twins. She's like, but she had a baby, you know, 2 weeks ago, she's pregnant again.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. They're pregnant while they're still carrying the babies.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah.
Like, you have, like, a kid, like, every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost immaculate. It's like the
right.
opposite of the Virgin Mary, but it's kind of like the constantly pregnant Mary.
Yeah. Yep. That's what's going to happen.
And I just see it, like, living in, like, some... Like, for some reason, you folks all live in, like, Victorian times England.
What?
I don't know, like, the Spencer Lynn family finds, like, the one corner in Portland that looks just like the, pre-industrial England, you
know. They dress them as such.
And it's just like this little shuttered thing, and they all live in one room.
You know? Just in destitute poverty.
And there's like there's no like faucet. There's just like a pump. There's just like a pump and a basin, you know, and one of those old like with those old churner things that you can do the laundry by hand. And she's just fucking like just miserable and rolling out donuts or something for his ass, and he's just fucking reading the newspaper and drinking fucking booze and just being fucking pissed.
Yeah, no,
get
that's
these
right.
Fucking kids off of me.
Yeah.
Finishing a bottle and just fucking throwing it out the open front door into the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless she lips off and then you try to throw it against the wall. Right. You don't try to hit her. You just want to scare her.
Okay, yeah.
Scare those redheaded children a little bit. and that poor woman.
Yeah, then they start to pick up the glass.
If I find another one of those mason jars full of your secret money stash to escape.
Wow, you really make me sound like a truly terrible, abusive person. And that, look at how much he laughs. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun for you. So if that's what... And hey, you know what? You're going to be in the sphere. I'm dropping them off here all the time. All the time. Yeah. They're just going to show up. I'm not going to tell you. And you're going to be, out of the kindness of your heart, you're going to have to be like, God damn it. Yeah. It's like Uncle Craig. Because there'll be some nice ones, and you know they'll do. And you'll be like, God damn it, come on, and
come then on, come on in.
Then I'll show back up like, where are my kids? I've
just finished like feeding them like 18 pounds of like popsicles and pixie sticks, and I'll be like, here they are, you fucking animal.
Yeah, yeah. Damn it.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. I'm going to be so old. I'm not going to be able to babysit your kids. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you already. I'm busy. I'm going to get in on that now. No. Oh, she hates children.
Of course.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, okay.
You don't want to leave your kids with Christy. No. No, actually, she did some babysitting for her, some friends of hers a little bit. We had a little man over here for a little while hanging out. That was some annoying.
Yeah.
They're annoying.
They're annoying.
They just want things.
Yeah.
They just want everything to like, touch everything.
All the time.
And just, like, fucking break some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so. Bless their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we were like, so.
And I'm always like, oh, they should do a better job raising children, but seriously, they're over here just, like, visiting, and I'm like, oh, let's turn on a TV, they're turning on a movie.
Yeah,
and just
instantly.
Fucking, like, get you fucking chilled
zoned.
The fuck out.
Yeah.
Because, like, fuck.
Yeah.
To, like, engage with you is way more than I fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm doing this for free.
Right.
Which is, you know, so. Anyway, speaking of doing it for free, we wish we weren't doing this for free. So get on the Patreon and give us some money.
Because
that's a thing that is fun.
Yes, please.
Giving us a lot of money.
Please, please.
And we do appreciate our listeners. And we got a special shout-out episode coming out for our new Patreon donor, which we're not going to reveal right now.
Oh, boy.
But, man, they made on the most mysterious song ever. You know that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that episode.
We got a really good guess, dude. I mean, I can't wait to show it to you on this episode. So we're going to have like a kind of a special thank you episode to one of our new Patreon guys.
Cool.
We'll do that real soon. And other than that, you know, if you're cheapskate, get on those free internet services. They're just selling our information to China.
Yeah.
You know, if you can find us, because I think we're on the shutdown until the election happens. I think that all of the problematic, all of it, like our engagement has went down on like everything so significantly since like the beginning of this month. It's just weird. And I think that everybody that has ever made fun of a Norwegian cruise line is just turned off.
If you've
off.
Ever
just,
used any sort of racial epithet ever.
Just turned off till Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
Weird. Yeah. Well, I mean, and Craig just used racial epithets towards the whitest people on Earth,
right,
just so you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like anything like that, but it's still, you know, it still haunts us
awful.
To this day.
It does, I think. It,
I think
it
so. It was
does.
A mark. It's like if you get a mark on your
it
account.
It spreads.
Yeah.
It's like
spreads
that,
to the other accounts.
Yeah, it's like Lady Macbeth, Act 4. Act 4 with the dagger, out damn spot. but it just keeps spreading everywhere.
The black spot.
Yeah.
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 Well,
thank you, Denny. Thank you, Sturgill.
Thanks, Sturge.
Thank you, fucking internet.
We love you. Well, yeah. Not the internet, but we love the people on the other side of the internet.
We do. It's all about people.
Yeah. We love the people. So thank you, guys.
That's what Spenny always says. It's always about people.
It's always about people.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.